Good morning. Good morning. This morning we are looking at a new series of topics about what we believe as Christians. Now, the fancy word for that is the creed. That's the fancy word for it. It basically means what we believe and why. And there is a song that we sing that has that title, the creed. I believe in God the Father, and so on and so forth. And so this morning we're going to be looking at heaven. What do we believe about heaven and why? Before we do that, I'd like to ask you a question, okay? So if you're near somebody and you feel comfortable, if they look a bit scary and you don't want to do that, that's absolutely fine. But I'd like you just to ask a simple question to each other for a couple of minutes. What's the one thing that you're looking forward to in 2023? Okay? So just ask the person near you or behind you, if they look non-threatening, what's the one thing that you're looking forward to in 2023? Wonderful. Is anybody feeling particularly brave and want to shout out what they're looking forward to? I'll tell you what came up at the 9 o'clock. Andrew won't mind me sharing this. Andrew is on a bit of a mean streak with his croquet, and he's going to a tournament this afternoon, and his words, he wants to win. So that's what he's looking forward to, is taking out the opposition this afternoon. So anybody else got anything that, you know, just shout out?
Warm weather.
Warm weather. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. 21. It's a distant memory for some of us. I'm looking forward to holidays. I really do. Time for me is probably one of the most precious things, and time off work, even more precious. You know, the good thing is about life is, yeah, there are setbacks and there are challenges, but we have a hope, and that hope is heaven this morning. So we're going to look at that. So heaven. So, hopefully this is going to work. We looked at the children and what they described as heaven. It's really interesting when you listen to children and what they describe and what they think about heaven. I wasn't going to show them this morning, but if you go on YouTube or any of the big channels, there are literally hundreds of videos of children that have been in intensive care or in hospitals that have had what the rest of us would call a God experience, where they talk innocently about angels and heaven. Now, if it was one or two, you might think, well, you know, cranks, medicine, that sort of stuff. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children, different backgrounds, different countries, all around the world. And they all describe the same thing about Jesus and angels being there for them. At some point when we grow up, we lose that innocence. We talked about this on Wednesday, about, you know, when as adults do we get so embarrassed and so aware of people around us that we lose that intimacy of relationship. You know, we were talking in life group on Friday, and one of the guys said, I forgot when to dance. I love to dance when nobody's looking, but I don't want to do it in church. And it's like, yeah, we've all got those things that we hold back. And as we get older, we lose a little bit of that innocence, but this is the hope that is in front of us. So I looked on one of the well-known search engines to have a look at heaven, and in less than a second, it came up with 1.11 billion search results. So there's a lot of stuff out there about heaven. So clearly, at least 1.11 billion people in the world believe in heaven because they've posted something about it. Okay? So you and I are not alone. That's the good thing. And so we're going to go from there to the next one, which is the beginning and the end. Have you ever been on an aeroplane where you started watching a movie or you pulled up the in-flight entertainment and you're looking at your watch and thinking, I've just got time to squeeze this movie in before we land. I did it once, and it was 2.5 hours. I've got no idea what the movie was, and I thought, right, we've got 15 minutes to spare. Anyway, there was a bit of turbulence and whatever, and we got to the last 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden, the lady came on and she said, that's it, everybody, we're having to stop the entertainment 5 minutes early. And to this day, I don't know how that movie ended. She was more interested in getting the tray tables folded away, the seats upright, and the blinds open than she was in letting me. And I begged her. I said, please, can I just... No, that was it. No negotiation. So to this day, I don't know how the movie ended. And as Christians, that would be our experience if we didn't know the end of the story, wouldn't it? What have we got for society if we don't have an ending? We're the same as everybody else. We have a beginning, and thankfully we have an end, and we know what they are. So our beginning actually starts in Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden, and that's a rough map based on the description from the Bible. So it talks about the river Euphrates and the land of Cush and others. So we can approximate the Garden of Eden as being somewhere in that area. We don't know exactly where it was. That's where it was, and that's where it all went horribly wrong. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. It all went horribly wrong. And God gave Adam and Eve free will. He gives us a free will to accept that gift. And it went wrong because the choice that they made was not a godly choice. But thankfully, it doesn't end there. So there's a picture of a Greek flag and a passport. And that brings us into Philippians. Now, the original language is really important. In Philippians, it talks a little bit about the word citizenship. And so we're all citizens of a country. We all have passports. I'm assuming that most of us have passports. I don't know what's going on with that one. We've all got passports. And that passport is our official document that declares who our identity is. And so when Paul was writing, he was writing as a Roman citizen. Roman citizen. That was his background. He had all the privilege, the support, and the security that went with being a Roman citizen. He was also really privileged and well-educated. And so the word that he used was not a word that was used commonly. And it's only used once in the New Testament. And I talked to Andrew about this before, about the Greek, and he knew what the word was straight away, and he got it. And this is in sort of descending order of importance. Okay, so the first of those root meanings is statehood. So when it says our citizenship is in heaven, so the first word is statehood. The next one that drops below that is government. So within the United Kingdom of the state, we have a government. Within that government, there is a capital city, which is London. And within there, then there are civil structures. Within there is citizenship. And then within there are the rights of the citizens. And so that's what Paul is basically saying, is in heaven, the statehood of heaven, there is a government, which is God's government, in the city, which is New Jerusalem. Jesus is the head of that. Within that, we are the citizens, and we have the rights and privileges that go with that because of what he did at the cross. So, not just a citizen, but a citizen within a structure. Something that is really, really important. It talks about, in verse 20, that we eagerly await. And that's why I asked the question before. What is it that we're all eagerly looking forward to in 2023? I guess like everybody, I'm looking forward to the return of Jesus. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, there will be wars and rumors of wars. And that's just the beginning. It gets worse from there on in. I'm looking forward to the Prince of Peace coming and being peace on the earth as we know it. That's what I'm looking forward to. Verse 21, he talks about our lowly bodies. Last time I went to see my doctor, I walked in, and he's got a great sense of humor, and the first thing he said to me is, doesn't matter what it is, it's all downhill. It was lovely, thank you very much. And I wouldn't change him for the world, he's a fantastic doctor, but yeah, he was just laughing and said, there's one year between the two of us, and he said, you know, I've got no sympathy for you, because basically I'm going through the similar sort of challenges, and we have a fantastic relationship. But I'm looking forward to the day when this aching body with arthritis in my knuckle from knocking on doors when I had a paper round when I was a kid, and my knee that's given way from too much running when I was a youngster, when those things are no longer here, and I've got a body that is just perfect and which will last me forever. There is a tremendous, so we've looked at Philippians there, which is the citizenship. And this is the special word I want to look at, where it says our bodies will be transformed. The actual root meaning, and it really means, is that we will be like-shaped to Jesus. It's a very unusual phrase, like-shaped to Jesus. It's not something that we would say in our language, like-shaped to Jesus. So I did a bit of digging to see what that meant. And what it basically means is the mortal bodies that we have, Jesus was man and he was God. The mortal bodies that we have, we become immortal. We live with him forever. That natural, all of those tendencies that we have, they replaced. We have a God identity. And the corruption, you know, the decay that we feel in our bodies, it's gone forever. We're made in the image of God. And so the ending. You know, I like journeys with an ending. I don't like to get on a journey and not know where I'm not going. It only happened once in all of my travels where I was flying, strangely enough, to Australia with work and got to Dubai and then found that the team hadn't booked my onward ticket from Dubai to Australia. That wasn't a good feeling. There was a journey, but there wasn't a means to complete that journey. We have Revelation 21, and Revelation 21 is the ending. And actually, it tells us quite a lot about heaven, more than I thought. So Revelation 21 talks about the foundations. It talks about the gates and the walls. We had that read to us by Kevin. It talks about the measurements of the city, the construction and how the streets are laid out. It talks about instruments of music, the worship that will come from that city in God's presence. As those little kids were talking about, it talks about the mansions and the homes. That little one said, I want a big one. It talks about tables and bowls of service in the temple. And it talks about the light. The light of the city comes from God's presence. So we're told really an awful lot about heaven. And there's one word, I'm hoping this is going to flick on to the next slide. That word there. And. Revelation 21. And. Now I'm curious. If a sentence... I mean, we taught this as kids at school. Normally, you wouldn't start a sentence or a paragraph with the word and or because. You know, I've got Sue nodding ahead at me as an ex-school teacher. It's just not good grammar. You don't do that. And we were talking in Life Group a little while ago about how the way the Bible is written. And it wasn't written in the way that we see it. They didn't put verse 21, verse 22, verse 23. It was written as a script. And to help us understand, they put the numbers in so that we all know that we're, where we're reading from. So Revelation 20:21, it flawed. It doesn't have the break that we have. So to understand what chapter 21 is, when it says, and, we have to go back into chapter 20. It just logically makes sense. So chapter 20, the quick version, is essentially God brings all things to an end. So the devil is condemned. Everybody that has ever lived stands before the presence of God, the book of life and judgment. And those that love God are separated from those who have rejected him. And that brings us to the end. So chapter 20 ends on that separation, and then we get to Revelation 21. And it says, and I saw. And it literally means, translated, the passing from one condition to another. Now, anybody here creative? Anybody do creative arts here? Good. I do. Yeah, I like to paint. Kevin turns wood, a couple of other people I can see sticking their hands up. Now, the thing is, if you do that, if I'm painting and make a mistake, if I'm in the sketching stage, I can usually get a razor and just rub over and then carry on. If I'm painting, I can just slap a bit of white on the top and then carry on with the color that I want. A little bit different for Kevin. If he goes an inch too far, you don't get that back with the wood. You've got to turn it into something else. But this is not what it's talking about in chapter 21. When it talks about the passing of one condition to another, it's not making good something as a bodge job repair. It's actually making something anew. Something anew. And so that promise that's in front of us is we're going to live in a new city, folks. A new Jerusalem. And there won't be any more creaky knees or arthritic joints. That little one said, I don't think there'll be a McDonald's in heaven. I think she'll be a little bit disappointed by that. But it'll be beyond anything that we can think about, anything that we can visualize. It's going to be there. And the wonderful thing is, it's there as an offer, God's invitation for us. But as I was talking with Andrew this morning, he said, but talking about heaven without about how you get there seems a bit pointless. And so what I've done is I found a video. It's only a short video, and it's Dr. Billy Graham. And this is quite poignant. This is the last video that was taken by his ministry team. He died shortly after this. And he sums up in about 2.5 minutes, far more eloquently, that journey, that anticipation of heaven than I ever could. And so what I wanted to do is just, we'll share that in a moment. And then this morning, we'd be wrong of us not to give an opportunity. If this touches you in a way and you think, yeah, that applies to me, that's a journey that I want, then there will be people that we can pray with later. So I'm hoping I get to the end of that. If I can't do it on here, I'm hoping the team at the back can flick onto that video, please, Kevin.
I know I'm going to heaven. I'm looking forward to it with great anticipation because of what Jesus did on that cross. He died for us, but he was raised by God. I've found during the latter years of my life, when I've had sicknesses and been in the hospital and so forth, there's a peace that just resides there and stays there that I cannot explain.
We all die. I'm not going to escape it. I don't want to escape it. I want to go. The vast majority of my life has already been lived. My record has already been made. I don't have very much longer. I know that.
Some of my closest friends and relatives, and especially my wife, already in heaven. And because of the hope we have in Jesus, we can all be in heaven someday forever.
A radical change must take place before you can get into heaven, before you can be accepted by God. You say, well, what do I have to do? You must repent of sin. You repent and you believe. Believe in Christ and you receive him in your heart and say, Lord Jesus, come in, and he'll come in. You don't have long. You'll be in eternity, and the decision you make tonight may decide where you'll be.
And anybody can believe. A blind man can believe. A deaf man can believe. An old person can believe. A young person can believe. And that word believe means commit. I commit my life totally to him.
First time I saw that, I nearly cried. A man who lived his whole life preaching maybe to more people than anybody in history. And the video that follows that is even more moving. It's of his funeral. And it's at the farm that he loved more than anywhere else in the world. And they've turned the barn into a library and a place of study. And in front of it, you can see it on YouTube, they put a large tent. And there were a couple of thousand people in that tent. It felt very homely. And then in at the end walked the president and the vice president of the United States. And they sat down on the front row next to the family. And boy, did the family preach the gospel. The president and the vice president will not get to heaven and stand in front of God and say that they never heard. His daughter talked about her love for her father and how she ran away on New Year's Eve and married a man that her father just knew wasn't right. And 6 weeks later, she'd been beaten up by him and came back in floods of tears. And she said, you don't ever want to disappoint your father, but you don't want to disappoint your dad when he's Billy Graham. And she said, I walked down the driveway with tears in my eyes, and he stood there, and he just put his arms out and said, welcome home. And that's struck me, that's what Jesus says to all of us. I want to welcome you home. It doesn't matter what you've done, no matter how far you think you are from God, I love you and I welcome home. So that's the hope that we have this morning. We have a hope that is wonderful. It's a free gift. But like Adam and Eve, we have a decision to make with that. And I can't make that decision for you. The only person that can make it is you. And so I would encourage you to do that this morning. So thank you for your time.